Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, what do Planned Parenthood and Negroes have in common? Planned Parenthood and Negroes today on the Steve Noble Show. And by the way, the use of that word Negro is not my choice. It was Amanchukwu's choice, is here in the studio with me. John Amanchukwu, who's been on the show before.
That's right.
And you're back.
Yeah. Hey, glad to be back. Steve wanted to use black people, but I said, since we're talking about Margaret Sanger, let's use her words. Let's use Negro.
Let's use her words. Let's use the word Negro. So we're talking about this, and this is on the heels of a little controversy here in North Carolina. And by the way, by way of boosting John even more, not that he needs any help with that, but who's your father-in-law?
My father-in-law is the greatest preacher to ever stand behind the sacred desk.
Wow.
Bishop Patrick Elwooden Sr.
That's a big claim, bro.
Listen, man, all men fall behind that man except for Jesus Christ.
He's quite a man.
That's my mentor.
Upper Room Church of God in Christ, where John also serves as the youth pastor and
the first assistant.
The first assistant to the bishop.
That's right.
Got it. And so a couple of days ago, Dan Forrest, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, running for governor of the great state of North Carolina. Did this actually take place at the Upper Room?
It did, in our fellowship hall. DLI, the Frederick Douglass Foundation, they rented space from us and had that event there.
And so the Frederick Douglass Foundation, which has been around for a while, great conservative organization, African Americans. And one of their representatives is going to be calling in after the 4:30 break. Kevrick McCain is the president of programming at the Douglass Leadership Institute, and so he's going to call in and chime in on this particular subject as well. But what was the big deal? So what happened when the lieutenant governor was at the Upper Room the other day? What did he say?
He said, and I'm going to quote him: "There is no doubt that when Planned Parenthood was created, it was created to destroy the entire black race. That was the purpose of Planned Parenthood. That's just the truth. That's not just some talk on the side." That's what he said.
And so we are going to add a little bit to that, because there's a general statement, and then you do your history. And so we deal in sound bites. We're in a politically charged environment, whether it's here in North Carolina or anywhere around the country, whether it's at the national level, the state level, or the local level. When you don't have time, you can make a general statement, and that's great. And that's what he did, to point in the direction of where the evidence leads. And where the evidence leads is to some pretty ugly stuff. And this is something at the Upper Room Church you guys have been talking about for a while, right?
That's right. Several years. 8 years ago, Bishop Wooden started a ministry called the Happy Warriors. They go out to a local abortion clinic. We go out there and we pray. We go out there and we support families. We go out there and we find a way to get in between light and darkness and cause the mother to keep her baby.
And so this is something that you've dealt with, because one of the things that when we're out there together with Love Life, before we get there, we always get a number.
Right.
And what do you notice about that number?
Oftentimes, if it's 30 people that have come that day, 23 or maybe 25 are black.
So it's usually about 75-80% African-American moms.
That's right.
And then a few, usually Hispanic,
yep,
and one or two whites.
Exactly.
But it's heavily tilted. But the interesting thing, when you look at all the, I don't know that I've seen an African-American working as an escort or somebody on staff at that particular abortion clinic.
I've seen two.
You've seen two.
And they don't last long. You want to know why? When they walk into the clinic, they see that, wow, everyone that's in here, they look like me. And there's got to be something going on. We make sure we point that out when they come to.
Yeah, and so we've got some things. I know you've got some Margaret Sanger quotes. I've got some pieces of information. This is history. Because to understand Planned Parenthood, you have to look at the ground out of which Planned Parenthood sprouted. And Planned Parenthood was basically the merging of a couple different things. Started as the American Eugenics Society. And there were a couple other things in there. Which, by the way, this also leads to World War II in terms of Adolf Hitler and the eugenic movement in Germany, which was patterned off of what was going on in America. And in America, we were talking about the forced sterilization, mostly of African Americans.
Right.
And I think this is a history that most people don't know. Do most African Americans in a largely African American church know anything about this?
Some do. I would say at an upper room, yes, but other churches, it depends on the pastor and where they stand when it comes to issues like this.
Yeah, and so we'll unpack some things today for the sake of the truth and for the facts, because Dan Forrest, the lieutenant governor, who's also a friend of both of ours, who both of us want to be the next governor of the great state of North Carolina, 100%.
Run for us,
let's talk about the realities of it. So would you like me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You shoot, Steve.
All right, so this was going all the way back. A couple of different articles here and some places that did great research. And by the way, if you want to take an hour or two online, you can do this yourself. You don't have to be a PhD-level researcher. You don't have to have a bunch of money. You take an hour and you spend it on Google, and you can go find all kinds of information to take you down this road. One of the darkest things of Planned Parenthood's history and the ground out of which it came was it was all based out of the American eugenics movement, which started in the early 1900s. This is an article called Hitler's Death or Debt to America. This was written by, this was actually a few years, this is about 14 years ago in The Guardian, the American edition of The Guardian. So 1917, 1921, you're in there when you get all this kill the defective, save the nation, and see the black stork, and all this stuff going on in America, okay? This isn't Germany, Nazi Germany, this is in America. So let me just read from this part. As America's eugenics movement gathered pace, it inspired a host of imitators. In France, Belgium, Sweden, England, and elsewhere in Europe, cliques of eugenicists did their best to introduce eugenic principles into national life. They could always point to recent precedents established where in the United States. Germany was no exception. From the turn of the century, German eugenicists formed academic and personal relationships with the American eugenics establishment, in particular with Charles Davenport, the pioneering founder of the Eugenics Record Office on Long Island, New York, which was backed by the Harriman Railway fortune. So there's all kinds of money and all kinds of insidious stuff going on here, right? Germany had certainly developed its own eugenic knowledge. As Americans' elite were describing the socially worthless and the ancestrally unfit. What does that sound like to you? Ancestrally unfit. From a white man's perspective.
It sounds like, in the words of Margaret Sanger, Negroes.
Negroes, okay. Right. Which they called, quote unquote, bacteria, vermin, mongrels, and subhuman. Mm. A superior race of Nordics. What do Nordics look like? They look like me, right? They're white. Was increasingly seen as the answer to the globe's eugenic problems. U.S. laws, eugenic investigations, and ideology became blueprints for Germany's rising tide of race biologists and race hate mongers. And eventually, in the early 1930s, some of these eugenics leaders here, which eventually led to Planned Parenthood, got a letter from somebody in German, a rising corporal, who was so thrilled with what they were doing. It was from the same, two of them got a letter from the same guy. And the fan letter called Grant's book about eugenics his Bible, and the man who sent the letters was Adolf Hitler. Sounds slightly racist to me. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. A miracle aside.
Talking about Planned Parenthood and the elimination of the Negro race today here on the Steve Noble Show. My good friend, my another brother from another mother, but a younger one.
Yeah, that's
your father-in-law is my slightly older brother from another mother. You're my younger brother from another mother. John Amanchuku, who's the youth pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, underneath the profound leadership of our good friend and your father-in-law, my good friend, Bishop Patrick Elwood Sr. We're talking today on the heels of Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest saying that Planned Parenthood was founded to eliminate the black race. People go ballistic. That's because most people are ignorant. They don't know the history, which is why we're talking about that today. John, always great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Sorry. So I had the opening salvo and some nice letters of thanks from Adolf Hitler that went to the American eugenics movement, which is what gave birth to Planned Parenthood. So what do you have? I think you've got some Margaret Sanger stuff here.
Yep, you got it. On December 10th, 1939, Margaret Sanger wrote a letter to Dr. C.J. Gamble, 255 Adams Street, Milton, Massachusetts. This is what she said. Miss Rose sent me a copy of your letter of December 5th, and I note that you doubt it worthwhile to employ a full-time Negro physician. It seems to me, from my experience where I have been in, watch this, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas, that while the colored Negroes have great respect for white doctors, they can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubts. They do not do this with the white people. And if we can train the Negro doctor at the clinic, he can go among them with enthusiasm and with knowledge, which I believe will have far-reaching results among the colored people. His work, in my opinion, should be entirely with the Negro profession and the nurses, hospital social workers, as well as the county's white doctors. His success will depend upon his personality and his training by us. And this is the line here. The minister's work is also important, and also he should be trained perhaps by the Federation as to our ideals and the goal that we hope to reach. What's the goal? We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. This is from Margaret Sanger.
What year was that?
1939.
Okay. Let me do something a little more recent. And I'm not going to tell you. I told you already who this is, but I'm just going to read a couple of things, and then I'll tell you guys who I'm talking about, all right? Here's somebody that this is a reliable supporter of abortion rights and described Roe versus Wade as being a decision about population control. Here's what this individual said. Quote, particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. Now, what does that sound like? That kind of sounds like Margaret Sanger, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, it's not. Like Ellison Sanger, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's currently on the U.S. Supreme Court, worries that without government intervention, birth control will be disproportionately practiced by the well-off and not by the members of those, quote, this is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this is a direct quote, quote, populations that we don't want to have too many of. Mm-hmm. In an interview with Elle, Ginsburg said it makes no sense as a national policy to promote birth control only among poor people. That wasn't 1927. That wasn't the date of that letter from Margaret Sanger.
Right.
That was in 2014.
Exactly.
A sitting U.S. Supreme Court justice.
Right.
But showing us the obvious racist plans of Planned Parenthood and the ground out of which it came out of, which was the American eugenics movement.
Exactly. And since then, Steve, 19 million black babies have been aborted since 1973, and mostly have been at Planned Parenthood. And 78% of their clinics are, guess where? They're in minority communities. That's intentional.
Yeah, and so it sounds to me, well, the reality here is, as bad as the Ku Klux Klan was and is,
yeah,
as bad as the white supremacy movement was and is,
mm-hmm,
nobody has killed more black people than Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
They are the to use Obama's phraseology, the Ku Klux Klan was JV, and Planned Parenthood, man, they're the NBA.
Yeah.
They're the top of the top.
By all means. And look what she wanted to do. She wanted to use the black Negro doctor and the Negro minister. Nowadays, majority of African-American ministers, they particularly vote one way.
Yeah.
So although she's dead, her movement, her intent is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
She's still today from the grave using the black minister. And the black minister has failed to do his job by exposing the truth to the black congregation.
That's right.
Why we were all startled when the gentleman that's over the NAACP for Raleigh and Apex, he said that Dan Forrest is not authorized to speak on behalf of the black community or MLK. And that's not what he was doing. He was appropriately recounting what Margaret Sanger said.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you who agrees with what Dan Forrest said.
Margaret Sanger does.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he said it. And I hope he says it again and again and again
again.
You know, what's the issue of our times today as we look at abortion? If a white man says a truth that pertains to the black community, is it now falsehood?
Yeah.
Is truth a color?
Yeah, that's right.
Can it be verified by skin tone? No, truth is always verified by its merit.
Is it right
or is it wrong?
That's right. Stands on its own. Doesn't matter who's saying it.
That's it.
Here's an interesting one. Here's a quote. Infanticide did not go out of fashion with the advance from savagery to barbarism and civilization. Rather, it became, as in Greece and Rome, a recognized custom with advocates among leaders of thought and action. That was Margaret Sanger writing in Woman in the New Race. Okay, so here's one of the main players behind the history of Planned Parenthood, which came out of the American eugenics movement. Okay, this is all birthed out of it, so you got to go to the root. You want to know what a tree is? Show me its root.
Mm.
Or you can talk about Jesus. I'll show you a tree by its fruit.
Right.
A tree is known by its fruit.
That's
okay.
Right.
So let's go to the tree. And one of the main parts of this tree is a guy named Clarence C. Little, who is the president of the American Eugenics Society, later known in the interest of not talking about eugenics, as the Society for Biodemography and Social Biology. Sounds so innocuous, doesn't it? And a founding board member of the American Birth Control League, today known in the interest of euphemism as Planned Parenthood. This guy actually founded the National Cancer Institute. So this is an article that appeared a couple years ago in the National Review. What a great line. He was a humane man with horrifying opinions. Now listen to this. Little is one of the early figures in Planned Parenthood whose public pronouncements, along with those of its charismatic founders, Margaret Sanger, often are pointed to as evidence of the organization's racist origins. Students at the University of Michigan are, in fact, at the time of this writing, petitioning to have his name stripped from a campus building. I mentioned this to you earlier, John. University of Michigan, not exactly a bastion of conservative thought. Okay, it's not exactly Liberty University either. Little, so this is Clarence C. Little. Little believed that birth control policies should be constructed in such a way as to protect, quote-unquote, Yankee stock. So he said, "Go okay, what's Yankee stock?" Referred to in Sanger's own work as, quote, unmixed native white parentage. So he's talking about me. I'm Yankee stock, okay?
Wow.
If Little's term is not clear enough from being overwhelmed by what was at the time perceived as the dysgenic fecundity of African Americans at BU,
right,
Catholic immigrants, and other undesirables. Check this quote out. Quote, "The feeble-minded are notoriously prolific in reproduction." That was Margaret Sanger. The question of racial differences was an obsession of Little's that went well beyond his interest in eugenics and followed him to the end of his life. One of his later scientific works was, quote, "The possible relation of genetics to differences in Negro-white mortality rates from cancer." This guy was a racist to the core. And Margaret Sanger is a disciple of his, and Planned Parenthood is directly out of his ilk.
That's right.
So, was Planned Parenthood founded to eliminate the black race?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Not the black race. According to Margaret Sanger, Negroes.
Negroes. Right. That's sorry right. about that. Sorry, I keep missing that.
That's right.
And not just Negroes, but anybody, any of you imbeciles out there, stupid people, birth defects, you got to go, just like the Negroes. We'll be right back.
That's right. More information about Margaret Sanger.
I know we do.
We can keep hammering away at it.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We are waiting to hear from Kevrick McCain. I've just sent him the phone number again. 866-348-7884. That's the number, right? Yeah, that's the number. So we're waiting. He's with he's the president of program for the Douglas Leadership Institute. So we're waiting for him to call in to chime in on this conversation today. We're bouncing off of what Lieutenant Governor here in North Carolina said the other day, that Planned Parenthood essentially founded to eliminate the black race. And when you dig into it, and you study history and you study the people that started Planned Parenthood, the people that helped start Planned Parenthood, and the organizations that fed into Planned Parenthood, that was exactly what they were trying to do. That was the eugenics movement. And unfortunately, the Negro population, as Margaret Sanger said, was only part of it.
Exactly.
Imbeciles.
Yep.
Moronic. Birth defects. Stupid. Low intelligence. Get rid of them all.
That's right.
Which started with forced unknown sterilizations. Mm-hmm. They did about 63,000 African-American women were sterilized. And then they wanted to spread that out all over the country. And there were some states that were beginning to enact laws. And one of the groups of people that this inspired was the leaders in the up-and-coming Nazi Germany. So Nazi Germany, actually people from Adolf Hitler's regime came over in 1939 and had a visit with the people from the eugenics movement in America.
Look at there.
All tied together.
All tied. Back to whom?
Back to Planned Parenthood.
To Margaret Sanger.
And the whole mess. And Margaret Sanger, one of three women that founded Planned Parenthood, which is really named from an earlier organization. Insidiously evil. And there's no way around that.
Exactly. Let's enter into the mind even further, into this dark, venomous, cold-blooded, racist Margaret Sanger. In 1920, she said, "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." That's what she said.
That's so...
She didn't want large families.
Satanic.
Right? Here's another point. "I think the greatest sin in the world, the greatest sin to Margaret Sanger is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That to me is the greatest sin that people can do and commit."
Yeah, I mean, and when I listen to that,
right,
and I'm obviously a Caucasian,
mm-hmm,
I know what she's talking about.
Exactly.
But when you listen to it, an African American,
right,
how does that affect you?
It says that at the end of the day, Margaret Sanger, she despised African Americans. She hated black people. To her, we were just delinquents. She also called black people weeds. you know? And this is the stuff that you got to keep in mind as we even look at what the NAACP president said, and others. Many people mentioned that Dr. King received an award in I believe, 1966 or so from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Right? And just because he received an award doesn't mean that he supported 19 million African-Americans being killed, majority of them being killed by Planned Parenthood. Just because you give me an award doesn't mean that I support what you're doing. And she mentioned in 1939 that she wanted to use the black minister to move her movement across. So let's find Dr. King. Let's give him an acrylic award, and we can tie him to Planned Parenthood. Man. And then black people who trust Dr. King, they're going to trust me now because I gave him an award. That's crazy.
It is crazy, and it's obviously insidious and evil. So to what percentage of this is an anecdotal guess. What percentage of African Americans understand that Planned Parenthood, championed by the Democrat Party, who 92-93% of African Americans vote for every time, what percentage of them understand the deeply racist background to abortion in general and to Planned Parenthood specifically?
Probably around 10%. That's what I would say, because I believe oftentimes anywhere from 93-95% of African Americans vote a Democrat.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
So somewhere around 10%.
So very few of them know. When you find them, and I guess we could call this a circumstance when an African American person becomes woke.
Woke, right?
They get woke to the realities of the abortion. I mean, have you talked to people when all of a sudden they find out? Like you had an interview with a young gentleman, African-American,
right,
from WRAL,
right,
the other day.
Yeah.
How'd that go with him? He seemed to be awfully clueless. You guys were smart and videoed the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Great brother, Aaron Thomas, man. I love him. But he was just uninformed. He didn't know about it. It depends oftentimes on what church you go to. You know, I attend a church like Upper Room. Bishop Wooden is going to tell you about what's going on.
Right.
You know, he has a biblical worldview. He's going to keep you up to date with what's going on in society. You know, he oftentimes reminds us that the Bible is more current than tomorrow's newspaper, right? So he's always giving us information about what is going, and it's always biblically integrated.
And do you remember a couple of people? Remember what Barack Obama, former president, said at the end of his speech in front of Planned Parenthood?
What did he say?
God bless Planned Parenthood.
Look at there.
Coming from a black man.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hillary Clinton received the Margaret Sanger Award.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got this earlier today. This is from our mutual friend E.C. Sykes, who's running for Secretary of Labor here in North Carolina. Today, a Planned Parenthood super PAC is gifting Elaine Marshall with a Champion of Choice Award.
Wow.
That's a PAC associated with Planned Parenthood,
yep,
giving our current Secretary of State, Elaine Marshall, a Planned Parenthood Award, Champion of Choice Award, which she's happily receiving. A lifetime champion of choice. And that's who our current Secretary of State is, which is why you need to vote for E.C. Sykes and get her out of there. But that it's all over the place, and it's like nobody knows this.
That's right.
There's a couple of us do, but most people don't.
Right. And that's why it was like wildfire this week when Dan Forrest said it. And, you know, we need more men like him who have the courage to speak up and mention these things. Some people try to say that he's mentioning this only because it's a political season.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, if he's sharing this information, if he's putting out the awareness about what's going on in our community, it benefits our people. Regardless of the time frame of when he's saying it, you know, it needs to be said. It needs to be addressed. And watch this. How come the NAACP isn't saying it?
Yeah.
How come our black pastors aren't saying it? Matter of fact, Steve, what do you think? What comes to mind when you go out to a local abortion clinic and you see that most of the people outside of the clinic are Caucasian, but most of the people in the clinic are black, what comes to your mind when you think about that?
The Ku Klux Klan. That's what comes to my mind. All right, so my screen went dark here for a little bit, and I didn't see the fact. Actually, Kevrick McCain is on hold. Kevrick McCain, president of programming at the Douglas Leadership Institute. Kevrick, I'm sorry about that, bro. I didn't even see you were on hold. I messed that up. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve and John. You've been hearing what we're saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So just chime in. Go. It's all you.
Thank you for having me on first, and also want to commend John on just his interview that he had with WRAL. I think it really crystallized really what Margaret Sanger's words are all about. And frankly, it really is to exterminate the black population. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, her words portray her. We put out kind of a press release about that, and one of our leaders actually said that. He said, you know, her words portray her. She wrote that we don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the black population. And so I totally agree with the direction of where you're going in terms of talking about it. And actually Planned Parenthood's their strategy of really trying to find black ministers to and black leaders to kind of green light their program. That's actually another part of their strategy. They actually wrote down and said, we want to find black ministers, so if that's there right. are any rebellious people in the black community, the minister will control them. And so it's all part of a really what I would call just a systematic and diabolical strategy to really reach out and affect the black population and destroy black children. And I commend the lieutenant governor and many of the people in the pro-life movement who are going out and standing against that, particularly when 50% of the children in the state of North Carolina that are being killed and aborted are African-American children.
Yeah, it really is shocking. Is this a central part of what the Frederick Douglass Foundation is doing, Kevrick, as well as the Douglass Leadership Institute?
It is. One of the things that is really a point of emphasis for us, and frankly, we're really encouraged with the Church of God in Christ, and in particular the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, as a partner, is to really look at how do we strengthen the black family. And one of the things is, frankly, is taking care of our children and valuing life. When you devalue life that's in the womb, you begin to see it being devalued in other parts of society. And I think there's correlations between how we devalue life in the womb of a mother and then devalue life when it comes in other areas, whether that be you see that with teenage crime and the murder rate in the African-American community. Those things, there's a correlation between the two. It's really important that we begin to value life and defend people who are, frankly, defenseless. They have no way to defend themselves if their moms and their dads don't stand up for them. So we really need to be a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah, such a great point. Kevrick, I owe you airtime. Okay, because I messed that up and didn't see you on hold. So I'll text you, and then we'll get you back on really soon and spend more time talking, okay?
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Keep up the great work,
John. Amen, we will. Thanks, Kevrick. And that was for you, John. He said, keep up the great work, John.
Hey, thank you so much,
and I'll
Kevrick.
Say the same thing to you. Keep up the great work.
Hey, Kevrick is the man.
He is the man. You're the man as well. Thanks for coming in today, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back.
You got it.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. That was a very, very important conversation. So if you're coming in at the end and you missed that, as we talked about Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, Negroes, as my good friend John Amanchukwu wanted to aptly name the show today, because that's how Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, referred to African-Americans, then go back and listen to it. Okay, the Facebook Live, you'll be able to watch it there. You'll be able to get the podcast. If you just go to thestevenobleshow.com, we've got the podcast there. Or if you want to go to Stitcher or iTunes, any of the major podcast platforms, the show is there, The Steve Noble Show. So you can go listen to it there, the first 45 minutes of the show. You need to hear that conversation as we unpack the history of the Planned Parenthood, which is the history of the eugenics movement in America, which is definitively racist. And not just African-Americans or Negroes, as Margaret Sanger called them, but Catholics, immigrants, anybody with any kind of mental or physical disability. The Eugenics Society is actually all the eugenics movement in America. This is all documented, and go read it themselves. They actually got a letter from an up-and-coming corporal in the German movement in the 30s named Adolf Hitler, thanking them for that information and for that mindset. So the great solution in Nazi Germany to wipe out the Jews came from the American eugenics movement, which is what gave birth to Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood, at its root, at its base, is deeply demonic, deeply racist, and yes, for the elimination of the black portion of the human race, as well as other portions of it. So when the lieutenant governor in North Carolina says that's why Planned Parenthood was formed, once you understand history and you get to the truth of it all, that's a true statement. It's a factual statement. You have to unpack it, which is what we just did. So if you missed the first part of the show, go do that, and because it's important that we all understand that history. On Monday, it was MLK Day. The markets were closed and everything, so we didn't get a chance to talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always. So David's with us today to do a little Money Monday on a Friday. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, and it's worked out great that we talked today because there's a big economic world forum that was in Davos, Switzerland, and we got now the information from it. So thank you for having me on your program on a Friday rather than Tuesday.
You're welcome. And I can tell you're feeling better. Your voice is getting stronger all the time. So we just praise the Lord for that and what he's doing in your life, David. And we just we're so thankful for that. So let's jump into the scripture right quick. We always start our Money Monday update with a scripture. Proverbs 23:7. This is a great one. So just unpack that one for a minute and then we'll go through the rest of our list.
Yeah, this has ministered to me many times this last year. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I had this scripture picked out a few days ago because it was ministering to me and in my walk with the Lord. And ironically, just 20 minutes before coming on the radio, I was talking with one of my associates, and I asked him to come to my office. And I said to him, Tom, tell me, you sound like you're nervous. And this guy has been doing what I'm doing for 20 years, so it's not about that. And so he unraveled what was going on inside his heart. And I said, I put my hands on his shoulders, and he was shaking. I said, just take a deep breath and relax, because God is on the throne, and what you're thinking, he has to go to the doctor for something fairly small compared to what I went through, and not to minimize his situation.
Sure.
But, you know, some people think about doctors different ways than others, and then that's, as we think, so we create this feeling, whether it be that positive thinking or a negative thinking, and that feeling develops if we've nursed that feeling along, we create a belief system, and it could totally alter the course of our life, totally jeopardize our relationship with our Lord, because, you know, we've all been bought with a great price. The old things have been passed away, and behold, a new thing has come. Amen. And so as we think, so we will feel, so we will believe. So that's why we need to have the scripture, that we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee, is what the scriptures are. So it's really important to know the word and know who you are in Christ.
Amen. What a great and powerful statement, especially in the world that we live in today, David, where people are really, especially younger people, are really struggling with their identity and their self-worth. The digital social media world has messed all that up. But it's such a powerful reminder. Another friend of mine always reminds me, hey, you know what? Whatever you water is what grows. So when you're thinking improperly, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you're buying the lies of the world, the flesh of the devil, and that's what you're watering, that's what's going to grow. That's why it's so important to know and stay in God's word. So thank you so much for leading us that. All right, so Davos, Switzerland, obviously that was a big deal this week. Tell us about that.
So we had three main topics being talked about: global warming, which 17-year-old Swedish activist Greta Thunberg, who spoke last year at Davos and also this year, spoke about that focal point. The coronavirus, something that's new, that's coming out. They talked about that because that's just hot off the press right now out of China. And my wheelhouse and favorite topic, debt, global debt and corporate debt, mostly global. So those were the three things that were of great concern that billionaires and leaders of the world and President Trump was at, because they're going to all affect us at some level.
So how do we kind of look at these individually, just to unpack them a little bit?
Well, global warming is not an area that I don't think that we should ignore our footprint. So there's a balance there. And obviously, Greta has much more of that's her passion. And she was saying that the house is on fire. She's referring to the earth.
Yeah.
And last year, and she's still saying it's on fire. And we need to be a good steward. And she didn't use that word, but that's what I'm going to use, of the earth. It is a place we live in, and we want it to be here for our grandkids in, you know, generations to come, and until the Lord comes back, that is. He's going to create a new earth anyway, but I don't think we should destroy what we have. So she's talking about, and she's extreme, and saying, let's have no more, you know, fossil fuel.
Oh, yeah, within 10 years, do away with it all.
Yeah, well, she's saying, let's start now, and, you know, I guess you don't get to a place unless you have a starting place, so We're working that direction. The world is, you know, through electronic cars and electric cars and other mechanisms. So that was that. The second one is the coronavirus. They're saying this is 17 people have been killed, 440 have the challenge of this. But they're saying it could infect the travel industry stocks and some bank financials, because there's a big financial institutions, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, employ thousands of people in China, and China's basically shut down. It's kind of a curveball. So how this might affect us is, if you have those types of stocks, you might want to pull back a little bit pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's where you got to pay attention to what's going on in the news. You go, well, what was the big deal? 17 people died in China, which should never be our position, because every life is precious. But when it starts to shut down travel, and it starts to shut down international travel, and then the stock market will react to things like that, because companies that deal with that are going to get hit by it. Even though it might be short term, it's still something we need to pay attention to. Then what about global debt? I know that one's kind of in our wheelhouse, as it should be. That's something we should always talk about.
Well, I'm going to go in depth on this in 2 weeks on a long version of Monday, but just to touch base on it, global debt was $75 trillion in 2007. Now it's $184 trillion, but the GDP is 225%, which means we're spending like crazy and not getting money returned on the money we spent. The corporate debt is going to be the thing that's the wild card. In fact, Guggenheimer, which is Scott Minyard, he's a big hedge fund, he said, we are now reaching the tipping point when investors will awake to the rising tides of defaults and downgrades. So if you look back to 2008, Bear Stearns was the catalyst. That was the thing that caused the tipping point, and 2 days later, Lehman Brothers. Now, these aren't gold companies saying this, and Morgan Stanley came out and said this, Mike Wilson with Morgan Stanley, this is an unsustainable, the absence of a meaningful catalyst. It can possibly continue, but when the catalyst happens, the markets for liquidity will be a challenge. So we are facing a market that could be significantly jeopardized. The corporate bond market, to put into perspective, Steve, this 50% of bonds are graded triple B. Now, triple B is like having a D plus on your report card, not a very good grade, one below below junk. Yeah. It was 35% in 2007. It's 50% today. The corporate debt market was $800 billion then. It's $3.3 trillion now. And in the last year, 50% of corporate entities have defaulted on their bonds, which is hard to fathom. 50%. So we're just moments away from a change, an economic change that could get triggered to the bond market. And the key thing is this, is Ray Dalio, the world's largest hedge fund, announced at the forum saying he sees a 30% rise in gold to 2000 this year. He said this quote about gold: if you don't own gold, you know neither history nor economics. I believe it would be both risk-reducing and return-enhancing to consider adding gold to one's portfolio. This is a stock guy saying, get some physical gold in your portfolio.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing for a stock guy to be saying that. And we said that a couple of weeks ago. I think it was it Fidelity? One of the big mutual fund companies was even talking about that as a way to balance out your portfolio. Really, really pretty amazing when you hear sources like that. I think probably the newsletter, the central bank issues dire warning collapse. What are some essential pieces of information that people can get from you at Landmark Capital that will help them understand this?
Well, we have a white paper on the bail-in, and I'm updating this whole time is up, this bubble, with this new bond information. So if they call our company at 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882, or go to landmarkgold.com, they can get a free information package and get educated.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to talking to you again on Monday, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
God bless. Thanks, Steve.
All right, pal. Have a great weekend. And super important, that's, you got to get educated. You got to pay attention. You can't just sit back and let things happen. We got to be good stewards. LandmarkGold.com is David's website, as always. Great information and education there. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.